When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early when the sun had risen on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. On entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were utterly amazed. He said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, 'He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A few weeks ago, I was hanging out with my godson and his family. And my godson, while I was talking to his parents, came in. He said, "Father Jared," or actually he says "Father Jared" because he still can't quite pronounce his R's yet. So, "Father Jared, come with me." Okay. So I followed him. And he said, "Spin me." And so I began to spin him. Of course, I'm getting older now, so I can't, you know, I get dizzy pretty quickly. So I set him down after I started getting dizzy. He's like, "Again." I'm like, "Okay, fine. I'll go the other direction, unwind myself, put him down after I got dizzy the other direction. Again, spin him around the other direction, and on and on and on." I don't remember how long it went on, but it went on for quite a while. For some reason, there is something in us as adults that we forget the joy in the repetitive. We seem to allow ourselves, as we get older, to become constant seekers of novelty, of the new, of the latest fad. But yet, as G.K. Chesterton points out rather pointedly, it is something within the childlike spirit that delights in those things which are repeated again and again and again. Each and every year, we celebrate Easter. And indeed, the Easter mystery, our Lord's resurrection, his rising from the dead, the great sufferings and death he endured for our sakes, for our sins, the Passover, the Paschal mystery of our faith, is what we celebrate at each and every Mass. It is something we do again and again and again. And for many of us, if we're probably being honest, we think it gets rather boring. The priest uses the same Eucharistic prayer again and again. Many of the words are the same, day after day, week after week, year after year. And we declare something new. Is this really all there is? These scriptures, these prayers. But the fact of the matter is that the great mysteries of our faith are ultimately found in the repeated, in the recurring, in the oft-happening. It is on this day that our Lord breaks the prison bars of death. The exalted proclaimed at the Easter Vigil, it is said that this building should shake with joy on this day, because the Easter mystery has taken place. Christ has rose from the dead. As St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans, yes, we are baptized into his death, so he died for your sins, my sins, all sins, for us personally and collectively. But his resurrection also has a similar meaning. Yes, it is indicative of his power, of his majesty, of his divinity. But it is also an indication of our own destiny. After the homily, we will renew our baptismal promises. And again, we do this year after year. And anytime you go to a baptism, you hear it again and again. And for many of us, it was made on our behalf by our parents and godparents. And it's indicative and it's a recurring theme within the spiritual life. And it's ultimately what Lent and Easter represent whenever we renew our baptismal promises. Because first, what do? We renounce sin and the empty promises and show of Satan. And by renouncing that, we're running away from something, which is what Lent is supposed to be about. Sin is death for our souls. And there are other things that maybe in and of themselves are okay or are good, but ultimately, too, is something we need to part with. And that's something to think about as you enter this Easter season. Is there perhaps something that I was doing in Lent that I should continue to do? Perhaps I realized that in giving up social media, that actually my life was a little more joyful and I was a little more focused on those around me. Or perhaps if you gave up did some sort of physical penance, whether it was giving up a certain kind of food, whether it was a period of fasting throughout the week, or some other practice that you recognized did great good and you had the opportunity to offer up for the salvation of souls or for some other intention. And maybe in some way you need to continue that, if maybe not to the extreme degree that you were doing it within Lent. You see, we need to first renounce sin. We need to first reject the world and recognize what the scriptures tell us. That the promise of the world is fleeting. That the ways of evil are insidious, subtle. And that ultimately Satan desires nothing more than to lead you either into the great depravity of sin or into the great evil also of spiritual pride. And today, as we renew our baptismal promises, before we declare what we believe in, we're asked to reject what leads us away from what we believe in. And then we proclaim what we believe. One might say that sin is, you know, renunciation of sin is the stick. And then we get the carrot of all carrots, the creed, the central beliefs and doctrines of our faith. I will ask you basically a short form of the creed. Believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and so on and so on. With that, we proclaim the central truths of our faith, that God is all-powerful, almighty. He created the world out of nothing. The greatest act before redemption itself, before Christ's death and resurrection. But then also he gave us a son. He gave his son for you. And not just to die for your sins, but also to rise, to give you a pledge of eternal life. Again, to return to the words of St. Paul, we died with Christ in our baptism, but we also rise with him to new life. And again, we hear this all the time. I know, Father. But the fact is, if we know it, we would live differently. If we believed it, we would learn to love our neighbor. If it truly took root within our hearts, so many more would be in this church. And this is my flaw, your flaw. We are all responsible. But that's where repetition comes in again. Because ultimately, if you have not had that personal encounter with Christ or you've forgotten about it, perhaps that's your Easter challenge. I give you a challenge on perhaps a couple of different fronts. So first, make it to Mass every single Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation, and throughout the week if you can manage it. Make time for personal prayer. I challenge you to spend at least a half an hour before the Blessed Sacrament each week in silent prayer. Yes, bring with you the Bible or another spiritual book to help guide your prayer. But spending a half an hour before the Blessed Sacrament, whether it's in the tabernacle and adoration. And then finally, I want to challenge you to make a regular daily spiritual routine. Each day, setting aside some time, even if it's not before the Blessed Sacrament, but at least 5 minutes of silent prayer. And of course, also going to confession on a regular basis, at least 4 times in the coming year, and any time you fall into mortal sin. Why? Because I guarantee if you do that this year, starting today, until next Easter, you will be different. You will not recognize who you were before. And your life will be forever changed. And you'll truly come to encounter the crucified and risen Savior that today we celebrate, the victor over death, both in the life to come, in the heavenly realm to come, in the resurrection of the body, but even now, in this moment, on this day, and all the days henceforth, to transform your heart. That is what God desires for you. Yes, we need to renounce sin, but also the beliefs and doctrines of our faith are not just simply something to say, I do to. Just as you say those words on your wedding day, your I do's, so too within our faith, you have to choose it again and again and again. You can't simply make that promise to your spouse on the day of your wedding and expect all to go well. So we must, on this day, recognize that God desires so much more for us. Christ doesn't desire just simply for us to skate by. He wants his resurrection to bring you to life now, so that the life to come can exist in the now. Christ died for you. He suffered for you. He broke the prison bars of death for you. And he rose from the dead so that you might have life now and offer your life as a sacrifice back to him and his heavenly Father.